Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here this morning on our podcast at Elim Church in Swanley. Thank you so much for joining us today and everything that we're speaking about across the world of the podcast platforms. We thank you so much for sharing everything on social media and everywhere we're putting out these podcasts and the video stuff that we're doing. We just want to say thank you this morning. But we welcome Sandra this morning and we're talking about the persecuted church. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
It's so good to have you with us, and we just want to say thank you for coming and chatting again on our weekly catch-up. I know we missed last week. You're all busy. You've been in the world of teaching again, but it's so good to have you with us. Thank you, Sandra.
Okay.
What do you have for us today?
Well, we'll just remind people the last time I was here was North Korea. We were looking at North Korea. That was number one on the World Watch list, and we discussed the system of Juche, which has really affected the whole way that North Korea operates and how it's put pressure on Christians and banned Christianity because it's all about the worship of the leader. That's how it's ended up, because it's all about self the juicy idea of self, doing everything, you know, and providing everything and all these things we talked about. And then we've got about the prison and about the labour camps, and that's where a lot of Christians are. But we also talked about the miracles and how the church is growing there. And we didn't have quite enough time for the testimony I was going to give about this North Korean who was at a conference I was at. She's managed to get asylum and some years ago. And she came to the conference to tell us a bit about what it was like in one of the prisons and how she ended up there and how she became a Christian. So I thought that might be interesting and encouraging to people to hear. So but what she said was that one of her family was found out to be a Christian, and they took the whole family. So it was her grandfather who they found out. And so not only did her grandfather and that part, but she also ended up in prison. And obviously she was very bitter and she didn't understand why, you know, this has happened, and she had nothing to do with it. And for a long time, she, you know, felt quite sorry for herself. But in the prison, she saw that was another lady, and she noticed that this lady was very quiet and she seemed to be muttering, and she thought she may be mad. But somehow she found out this lady was a Christian, and she thought, well, this lady's praying to God. Perhaps there is a maker. She'd never thought about Christianity. She didn't know anything about it, really, what it was about. But she, in her misery, because she said, well, Lord, I either die or, you know, and just know nothing. Perhaps there is somebody who loves me. Perhaps there is a creator. Perhaps the, and if it's so. And so she decided that she would start praying to this creator. And she sort of said, well, you know, Lord, if you are who, you know, all powerful and everything, perhaps you can get me out of this prison. And that's what happened.
Wow, what an interesting story.
She didn't really say how that happened, but she then escaped to China, and she just still didn't really understand what had happened. But God, it's just amazing, you know, there are people there, and he directed these people, and she found a church, and she went into this church and she said, I want to find Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus. Who is Jesus? And they gave her a Bible and she became Christian.
So can I backtrack a moment? So we're hearing of this story that this person in this situation have never heard of Jesus before.
No.
Never heard of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Suddenly she finds within herself, she wants to pray, mm-hmm. to call to, if there is a God out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Then she starts to pray, and then suddenly doors start to open.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she gets a Bible.
Yeah.
It's amazing how God speaks to people that have never even heard of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never even heard of the God of Israel, but suddenly have a dream, suddenly have a revelation. How does this work? I know. We know, though.
She was desperate. And she said that she was just, she thought, what's the point? What's the point of my life? She just sort of thought, here I am in this terrible place. And what's the point of my life?
Do you know what, Sandra?
Yeah, that's what she said.
That's quite harrowing. When you say that, what is the point of my life? We're hearing this so much at this moment. What is the purpose of my life? I know we're looking at this lady here, but there are many people that will be listening to this podcast. And in the situation that we are in at this moment in this COVID-19 pandemic, and we're getting tired of hearing this word, COVID, but it really is making humanity look at itself and saying, what is the purpose of my life?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a harrowing question to ask, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we've been going about work, we've been going about life, we've been having families, in families, out of families, and then suddenly, like this lady said, what is the purpose of my life?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you think so deep.
Mm-hmm.
But in the book of Joel, the book of Acts, it says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So coming back to this lady, that can only be divine intervention. We know.
Absolutely. And probably this lady who I told you about, who was a Christian, she said perhaps she was praying for her as well.
Yeah.
So there's Christians there in these terrible places, in these concentration camps, and they're praying for those others. And God hears their prayer as well, doesn't he?
Amen.
How it works,
we don't know.
But
the human mind can't understand the way of God.
Yeah, and we're praying as well, but I obviously didn't pray for this woman because this had happened well before I...
Yeah, sure, but
so I am praying for others. They encouraged me to pray.
And at this moment, when we're praying for the world of the persecuted church, there are people in exactly the same situation as this person.
Absolutely. And prayers go through walls and go through... You know what I mean? They are
penetrate
powerful.
The darkness.
Absolutely.
And it changes things.
There's no barbed wire. There's nothing. And so this is it. I mean, it was a blessing to hear from this lady, but there can be so many others that we just don't know about. And we can be touching those lives,
through
praying,
the power
seeking
of prayer.
Them. Yes. You know,
it's amazing.
So this is what is so important, and people keep saying, so many times they said we felt that somebody was praying for us. We felt arms, as if arms were around us.
That's really powerful.
It is
really powerful to say that we felt someone praying for us.
Yeah.
And this is a common word that we are hearing, isn't it? That I felt someone praying.
Yeah.
God spoke to me.
Mm.
And we have to come back to Joel and the book of Acts. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Visions and dreams. Young men will have visions and dreams. Sons and daughters. And it's fantastic, that scripture, how it speaks very clearly.
Mm.
Sons and daughters will have visions and dreams. The book of Acts and the book of Joel.
Yeah.
So, Sandra, that was a fantastic story to share with us on this Elim podcast, and we are just about to open the door to Nigeria. Now, this is a nation that I am not familiar with at all.
Okay.
And the persecution that goes on in Nigeria. So can you start to open up and just tell us what we have today?
Okay. Well, it's been going on a long time, and Release International are one of the organisations that do have links there, and so if you want to know, you know, a lot of detail about it, Release International are the ones. Barnabas also, it's a focus of Barnabas. So some of these organizations that support the persecuted church have particular countries which they focus on, and they have partners, and they have people who particularly have made links. And so I'm going to be using a lot of today about Release International's material. So in Nigeria, it's not all Nigeria. But the part that is particularly being affected is the central plateau and northern Nigeria.
Okay.
Now, it started with northern Nigeria. It's now increased and is now also in the central part called the plateau. And Nigeria is a very big place, obviously. And at the moment, Nigeria is in the news for other reasons that the listeners might know about. And yes, to do with police brutality. But we are looking at the persecution. And it is contentious because people have seen this as a political issue. And we know many people who come from Nigeria, that's how they view it. But there is particularly now a press on Christians, and Christians are being killed. And some reporters have said it's getting close to a genocide.
So, really?
Yes, because of the numbers that are being killed, because of the villages being completely burned. It's like they want to eradicate Christians from that part of the country and take it over and make it Islamic. That's what seems to be going on. It's a religious extremism. If people want to compare this, they could compare it with what was going on in Iraq and Iran with ISIS. It's a similar thing.
Similar pattern.
Yes. And they believe that some of these Islamic extremists believe, religious extremists believe, that they are bringing in their sort of, it's not our Jesus, but they call it ISIS,
yeah,
this idea of a Messiah, and they are wanting to bring that in and bring their rules and Sharia law and these things. But it is complex, and you've got Boko Haram that you may have heard about, particularly with the Chibok girls who were kidnapped some time ago. That did hit the news.
It did.
And that's to do with education. They don't believe that girls should be educated. And so particularly they target schools. A lot of Christian schools have been targeted and the girls have been kidnapped. Teachers have been killed because they don't believe that it's right for women to be educated. Okay. But they are also upsetting other people. They are also attacking other places as well, and other Christian villages.
Sandra, could I just pause a moment? When,
yeah,
when you say attacking the villages, and so that is a pretty common pattern that we see in many countries, isn't it? That churches are burnt, villages are burnt, families, yeah, are split up,
yeah,
schools are attacked.
Yeah.
It seems to be very brutal. There seems to be an exact formula for the word persecution. Whether it's in Korea, whether it's in Nigeria, whether it's in Syria, whether it's wherever it may be, there seems to be a pattern that seems to follow the word persecution, doesn't there? They're like, families are broken down,
yeah,
families are destroyed, lives are taken, churches are burnt, villages are swept out and burnt through. So this pattern is seen across these nations, isn't it? It's a pattern, and now we're talking about these girls that was caught up in these atrocities not long ago. It wasn't very long ago now, was it, when they was captured?
Yeah.
So it's a pattern that I see that is very satanic.
Yeah. So
it's very satanic.
It's misdirection, and sadly, there are people who get involved with it for money, and they're given money to
control.
Do these things. So the Fulani herdsmen, how it started with them was for land. They felt that
all
they'd been
land.
Pushed out.
Okay.
And that's where the political issue comes
political
in.
Political stuff comes in.
As well. And but now, in a lot of cases, they're not calling them herdsmen. They're calling them Fulani militia now.
So they're using the word militia.
Yes, because it's got a lot more violence.
So that's a strong word, militia. Yeah.
They've particularly gone for pastors. They've killed a lot of pastors. They then caused the whole village to have to flee for their lives.
Goodness.
And so there's a lot of displaced people and a lot of people in camps. And, of course, so that's another issue with COVID. And how do you get food to these people? Some people have had to flee and they've settled somewhere and then they've been attacked again and they've had to flee again. Some people have had part of some of their family have been injured or killed, and then they've fleed from that and then they've suffered more, you know. So it's a very sad, very...
It's very heavy,
very
isn't it?
Difficult.
It's a very difficult conversation when we sit across the table.
Yeah.
We see each other's eyes, and one of us can well up get a tear. But as you was about to say, it's really important that we get this information out. We get the testimonies out. We educate people, and people educate us through the greatness of Release International, Open Doors, and all the other ministries, Barnabas Fund. We need to hear these stories, these facts that are happening, so that what for? So that the church can pray.
Amen.
Because prayer changes things.
Amen.
Prayer, we know, we've spoken, we all know, listening, and myself and Sandra here, know the power of prayer. So it is the power of prayer that will come against all the militia, come against the violence. And how do we pray into that as well, Sandra? What do we pray for? Is there any guidance, like, through these ministries that they give us? Obviously, we pray for peace. Mm-hmm. We pray for doors to be opened. We pray for salvation. Mm-hmm. So there is, when you look at what do we pray for, there is a big list, isn't there? But the Bible makes it very clear, doesn't it? Because Jesus was persecuted.
Yeah.
And Christ said, if they persecuted me, so will they persecute you. Mm-hmm. So we need to be very careful in the West that we understand that this is a biblical pattern. This is this will happen. Even though we have the power of prayer, persecution has to take place for scriptures to be fulfilled. Because in my world of being a Christian, I want peace and no one to be hurt.
That's right.
You know, that's the way I am. Lord, please, Lord.
Yes.
But then we hear stories, these brutalities that are happening all around the world, and these pictures that Sandra has in this magazine in front of us. So we need to pray for peace, but also I believe, Sandra, that we need to pray for peace for ourselves, for us that are discussing these conversations, for those that are involved in the world of the persecuted church, for those missionaries that go out there. So as we see and as we hear and as we engage, Christ gives us strength and gives us stability so that we can carry on doing what we do. And, you know, it's twofold. It's twofold because you said something very important earlier. It is heavy, but it needs to be spoken about.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of information on Nigeria and I have been looking at it for quite some time, and we've had speakers from Open Doors, haven't we? And we've had from Release International, and they have told us about the situation that's been ongoing for a lot of years, but it has particularly increased in, I'd say, the last 5 years. And so I was looking at things, and I have, you know, I have stories about wonderful testimonies of widows who've then gone on to open trauma centres and encourage other widows and support other widows. But when I was praying about it, the Lord said, I want you to tell the facts as they are today. As hard as it is, my people need to know what's going on
facts. And
how it is. And so they can pray with understanding and awareness of the situation now. So that is how
we've heard it from the Lord
today, that these particular things he wants to bring out. But in that, it's to encourage, and it's to enable,
amen,
and it's to equip, because it says here helping Nigeria's struggling believers. And if you, as I said, if you think that this being like they thought there's peace and then they've had to move and then this has happened, you know, it would, wouldn't it? I mean, we're struggling with this situation that it keeps changing.
With this COVID-19.
Yeah, so we know. And the thing that comes out is about forgiveness and praying and saying to the Lord, Lord, help them continue to forgive. Remind them, as hard as it is when they see all these things happening and their families being destroyed and the villages being destroyed, that they say, love your enemies. And I will tell you about a particular testimony on that.
Love your enemies.
Matthew 5:44. And that is a particular thing they say, you know, for the young people, as they see things, that they won't retaliate. That's the goading of the enemy. That's what he wants to do. And in some ways, they say some of the reason for what's going on is because these villages are very peaceful and they're easy targets and people aren't arming themselves. And so they're easy to take over.
Yeah.
And so that's a challenge.
David and Goliath. You come against me with spear and javelin. Mm. You come against me with everything, but I come in the name of the Lord.
Mm.
There is something powerful about coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've said before, smiles.
Yes.
You know, when you look at these photos and these pictures again that are before Sandra, I've digressed very slightly, but Sandra's led me into a subject that when you look at this magazine, Release International, and it's called Voice of the Persecuted Christians, a great magazine. Now, the lady on the front there, it says, helping Nigerians struggling believers.
Yes, yeah.
So every picture that Sandra has brought to us here at Elim Church, we see very clearly that these Christians that are being persecuted have one common thing upon themselves, and that is their smile. They have joy, they have peace.
Yeah, they weep. They weep over their losses, but then they have joy. They do, and they want to carry on. And they, you know, they want to still spread the gospel.
Look at this. Look at these pictures.
And yeah, this
keep praying.
You're
keep
saying.
Praying.
I mean, I've heard this guy speaking as well.
So what's his name, Sam?
He's
a bishop.
Oh yes.
we'll try and pronounce that in a moment.
Benjamin Kawashi, Archbishop.
The Archbishop of Nigeria.
Or
is he a province?
It might be a province.
Okay. Yeah. So what page is that on?
That's on page 9.
Page 9 of the latest Release International magazine.
Yeah.
You will find these stories.
And I was going to recommend, it's called Neither Bomb Nor Bullet. And it's his biography.
Okay.
And he's the Archbishop of Jos. That's where he is. From
Jos.
J-O-S.
J-O-S. Josh.
Yeah. And an amazing. I mean, you know, they've tried to kill him. Several times
his wife's been injured,
but he's escaped, miraculously escaped. There's, you know, I can't go into it all.
We understand that,
you know,
we get that.
But he was, you know, just inspiring. And he said about how, you know, they must continue because of the blood of the martyrs, of those who went and gave them the gospel. He said it's now their turn to stand for the gospel.
Wow, there's a time to stand.
So, where should we go now? So the partners, they need trauma centres because of what's going on. There's a lot of widows, so there's loans for businesses. That's what a lot of the Christian relief organisations are doing there. So that's an encouragement, and that's building up their faith and putting those arms of love around them and enabling them to make a living. So that's something that is
So there's
going.
A bit of regeneration going on. There's a bit of rebuilding going on. There's hope.
Yes.
Well, there's always hope. We know there's always hope because that's what the scripture says. There's always hope. But that's great. So there's... villages are being rebuilt. There's families coming back together.
Yeah, they keep building, you know, rebuilding
going.
The churches.
They keep going.
And
they
things.
Don't give up. They're relentless. They yeah. keep going.
So I'll just read this bit. That's the latest in the release about some things that have happened to give you an idea of what's going on. So this happened in a village in the Plateau State. And this is a pastor. He's a young pastor. Been there just 2 years. And on the, sadly, on the 6th of April, he was killed. She was expecting her baby, and she had gone for an appointment. She said farewell to her husband, and that was the last time she saw him.
Oh, God.
Because that day, militant Fulanis attacked the village, and, yeah, he was shot dead. And they talked to a 65-year-old survivor, and he explained how he miraculously was saved. He said he lay down quietly as the Fulani, about 10 of them, speaking in their language. They went into my house and they killed my sons and his wife too. And
oh God.
And then they headed for that pastor's house. They called out to him and I heard more shots, and the men came back to where I was lying and walked away into the dark. They thought he was dead, but he wasn't. So he escaped. But that's the sort of thing they're going through.
This is brutal.
Yeah. So they estimate
brutal.
That these militants have killed as many as 19,000 people in Nigeria.
19,000.
19,000.
Just in that province, in that area.
In that plateau area, yeah. And this year, despite lockdowns and curfews, more than 300 Christians have been killed in Kaduna State and another 100 in parts of Plateau State. Last week of July and the beginning of August alone saw attacks on 17 villages, with more than 75 people dead and a further 5,000 displaced from their homes. The partner commented, "We have seen well-planned, well-orchestrated, systematic attacks on Christian communities that have nothing to do with a fight for grazing lands." That's what I told you about before.
So it's land. It's always over territory.
Yeah, yeah. But he's saying that this is systematic now. It's not just a fight for grazing.
So that's very spiritual over territory.
Yeah. These attacks are driven by an Islamic ideology aimed at destroying the infidels and in many places displacing them from their communities, while the government is either by design or omission not watching. The political correct narrative, which is easier for the international community to swallow, which suits the Nigerian government well, is to blame desertification and climate change.
Sandra, listening to these stories, I just thank God that I was born in the UK. I was born in this part of the world, and I thank God for the missionaries that go out there. Thank God for Release International, for the stories that they bring back to us. And we must emphasize to everybody listening, it is the power of prayer that will break the satanic strongholds in these nations. And when we hear about pastors being killed, wives being taken, children being shot, we just have to call on our God, the God of Israel. We call on God, and many people listening to this, it's very harrowing, you know, and it can be very emotionally draining, but we need to press on. Yeah. You know, we are covered in cotton wool here in the UK. We are very well protected. We may say that there's a persecution upon us, you know, lockdown and everything like that, but we are going through nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to what our brothers and sisters are in the persecuted church. Shot, raped, beaten, families stripped back, pastors targeted churches burnt down. So for all of us listening in the UK, we need to pray that God will give us understanding, God will give us peace, and God will open our eyes more, because we are so comfortable. We are wrapped in cotton wool. We really are, and we really need to get into the Word of God more. We need to press into prayer more. You know, the biggest thing that we fight for over here is someone is sitting in my seat this Sunday. I've sat there for the X amount of years, you know, but this needs to stop. We need to grab hold of Jesus and pray for our brothers, pastors abroad, ministers abroad, missionaries abroad, in these areas of these villages that Sandra is looking at this moment. And we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying. It's so important that the church in the West, we pray and we pray and we pray. Okay, Sandra.
Yeah, so he says that in asking the pastors in that area and what he knows, he says, ask the prayers that we ask for are for the pastors who are facing this challenge, mm-hmm. that they will be able to prove God's love in these tragedies.
Amen.
While they equally try to stay alive. So he said, please pray for the pastors. And so that's something we can do. So we can pray with greater understanding of the situation. We can write to our MP and, you know, say to him about this situation and bringing it up the agenda.
That's very important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Write to local MPs,
yeah.
MPs in Houses of the Parliament,
yeah.
bringing this to light. I know Elim, there's within the Elim movement, there is a representation of Elim Church and the movement in the world of politics. So maybe we could link them up as well, and mm-hmm. we could, because that's very, very important. So whatever denomination that we are in, it's really important as we approach MPs and we ask them to look into this, because this has been getting more headline space, isn't it, in Parliament over the years.
Mm.
It's starting to get more of a voice. It's coming up. So we need to keep praying into that as well. So I just wanted to say that, as Sandra mentioned, the politics on this, it's really important to write in to the MP and to get our word into the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah. And as I was saying to Pastor Ben yesterday, they were looking at the Bishop of Truro's report and how far things have got on that.
Yes.
And where it can go. And I did contact my MP particularly about the situation with the women and the widows. And he said that, you know, that they were looking at that. But we do need to pray about that will go forward, because the guy that was heading it up has resigned and they need to find somebody else, and pray that a good person, somebody well equipped, who can cope in these days, because
Praise
obviously
God.
There are a lot of pressures on them. And so when you do write to your MP, Open Doors were particularly saying to encourage them and say thank you for the work that they're doing during COVID and how you appreciate it, and then to say about what the issue is, because they're under a lot of pressure and a lot of
they're
stress
under a lot
themselves.
Of pressure and stress.
So we need to support them as well. And as I say, if you are able to, they do have different projects and things which you can give to support widows, to support trauma care centres. There are occasions when you can send cards of encouragement and support and for the bereaved and the suffering. And also, I will be listening online on the 4th of November to a guy that is a partner out in Nigeria. I won't give his name because of security reasons. If people want to know, they can find out on the
yes.
website of Release International. But, you know, if you really do want first-hand information and you do want this verified, because as I say, I know this is a contentious issue for quite a lot of people politically. So, you know, that will help. And as I say, it's about us thinking about forgiveness and just seeking the Lord about that, even when we pray, that we remember to pray for these militants who are misguided. Pray for the young ones, that they don't get pulled into it because of money or being offered food at this time with COVID. There's a lot of different things. There's a lot of temptation. Yeah. And so we really need to seek the Lord that for his body, that they will continue and the love will be there. And though they're hard pressed and they're grieving, that will persevere and the gospel will continue.
Amen.
And we thank God for the leaders, such as Bishop of Josh, who is encouraging, and that he will have the strength and the energy to support our brothers and sisters where they're at. And I thank God for the different partners that go out there and, you know, risking their lives. I just thank them, thank the Lord for them. And just want to finish with this Rose, who is the widow of that pastor who was martyred back in April.
Okay.
And she says,
yeah,
she's given birth to her third daughter, and she named her Patience because she said...
Patience?
Yes. She is determined to wait patiently on the Lord for his strength and to see his purpose in her loss. Responding to the martyrdom of her husband, she said, "The evil men think killing a pastor will stop the gospel. Nothing will stop the gospel of Christ. My prayer is that his killers will get to know the Jesus I know. I do forgive them, and I will pray that the Lord saves their souls."
Amen. What a prayer. What a beautiful prayer to finish on this morning. Sandra, we thank you for bringing so much to the table, and the effort and the strain and the emotional things that you go through as well to deliver what's got to be delivered, even though we might have a 35-minute or 45-minute podcast once a week. We thank you for your commitment to Jesus. We thank you for what you do here in Elim Church. We just want to say thank you, Sandra, and our prayers and our heart is with all those around the world that are going through. But Sandra, thank you so much for joining us this morning. May God bless you and strengthen you, and what a beautiful prayer to finish on. God bless you, Sandra. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, and Sandra this morning here at Elim Church. Thank you so much. Please share everything we speak about. We will catch you very, very soon next week on our podcast regarding the persecuted church. Thank you. Bye-bye.